Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode, the April 22nd episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And do we have another amazing show for you, just chatting backstage with our guests, and we have a lot to talk about. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I invite you to support the show. Go ahead and share the show because our guests today are coming to you to bring you not only a lot of positive messages, but they're coming to you to bring you information on what you can do to stay positive, stay in business, and also just live a better life during these times. I want to introduce our first guest. Our first guest is Carolyn Willman. Carolyn is founder of Imagination Edge, Inc., which she started in 1994. Ooh, 1994, that's a long time ago. That's the year when I built my first website. And she specializes in small business marketing and consulting. But she's also the contest queen. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm very good. I just wish it was warmer.
Well, here in Long Beach, I won't brag, Carolyn. We have a lot of sun in California. But I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. Our next guest is Philippe Danielidis, and he is a coach for overthinking achievers. And he is a workshop facilitator. He's a speaker, and he's also a recovered lawyer. Good morning, Philippe.
Good morning. How are you? So good to be here. You got my name right.
You didn't have to tell everybody that I practiced for 15 minutes to be able to say your name.
Honestly, that's a big deal. I appreciate it. So thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
You're welcome. I tried. I wanted to give you this wonderful introduction. But when I read your bio, first when I saw the word recovered, you know, we tend to think recovered alcoholic, recovered drug addict. And you're like, I'm a recovered lawyer. What is a recovered lawyer?
Yeah, so I think the way I talk about it, it's certainly the practice of law. I wasn't really for me, which is why I moved on to coaching. But really, when I use that word, it's around the mindset of a lawyer. And I think for a lot of current and former lawyers, mindset of having to get everything right all the time, because people come to us expecting us to have all the answers, to have everything prepared in advance, which is great and important when you're in practice. But when that mindset and those expectations ripple out into other areas of our lives, it can create a lot of added anxiety and stress. And so that's the aspect of law, the lawyer's mentality that I'm referring to there.
I love it. So we're going to pop over to someone who hasn't recovered yet. She's still in practice. She's still doing what she does wonderfully. We're going to go ahead and introduce our next guest, which is Carolina Denhard. She's the managing director of the International Law Group, and she is in charge of the matrimony department. And we're going to talk about that today. Good morning, Carolina. How are you?
Good morning. And you know, to Philippe's point, I have virtual court appearances all day. You have no idea what I'm wearing for the waist down because all the judge sees is this, but he's absolutely correct. People come to us for immediate answers, expecting solutions. And in today's world of the new normal, there's more work than ever. And I'm very excited to be here today to talk to you about something that we're seeing happen, which is domestic violence being on the rise. People are shut in place. They're all sitting in the same room. They're all going crazy. What are we doing for them? So thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And we are definitely going to speak about that. I had some conversations with my friends, and I was telling people on another talk show, it was 1 week where I had about three friends who wanted to end everything in their relationships. I had one friend who was married, and she was like, I want a divorce. And I had two friends that were in relationships, and they wanted to break up. And I'm like, you know what, guys, this is not the time. You know, you never know when you may need them to cut the firewood or kill the zombie. You know what I mean? Like, you need them right now. Now is not the time to break up. But I want to move over to our next guest before we get too deep in the conversation, Ms. Shayla Veranda. And she is a Go Live and Grow Queen, as well as a business strategy angel. Good morning, Shayla. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. You look beautiful. Your necklace is beautiful. Everything about you is beautiful. I love your background.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm working from home in my office like all of us. Look.
Yes. Yes. Were you working from home before all of this, or is this new to you?
I was working from home before all of this. So the working from home thing wasn't a huge transition for me, but for us work from homers, it's nice to be able to get out and stuff. So that has been the adjustment, not being able to hop out for happy hour or go meet a client in person or things like that. So that's been the shift for me.
Yes, you sound like a woman after my own heart, because I was like, okay, no happy hour? Like, this is crazy. Oh,
God.
Yeah, that's been the challenging part, not being able to like be social, but the work from home part I'm used to.
Yes.
The challenge is to not start happy hour too early. I work with Eastern Europe often, and they're 6 hours ahead. So by noon, you know, I'm ready for happy hour with my Poland counterparts.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Now, Carolyn, I want to go over to you for a minute. You started your business in 1994, correct?
I did, before working from home was in vogue.
Yes, I know the feeling. When I built my website in 1994, a lot of people said I was crazy. A lot of people said I was lazy, because if you didn't go out and work a job, then, you know, that was unheard of. But now it's more the opposite of where people are saying, oh, you actually go to work. You know, it's not the end thing. Everyone's working from home. But I know the reason I wanted to bring that up is I know you had to have seen a lot of different changes in business and consulting in the 25 years or 26 years that you've been in business. What are some of the things that you've seen change, and how do they apply to today's market?
You know, what's interesting is I started it way back in the day, and you're right, I had so many people think I wasn't working. I remember my mom, I was going, when are you gonna get a real job? Or mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, no, this is a real job. Now she gets it. It's been a while. But mm-hmm. Yeah, she didn't get it at first. And so then whenever there was something happening in the family, they figured, well, I was always free because I wasn't working. Mm-hmm. They didn't see that. And what's interesting is what I used to do in the day was the very first thing people did, because the internet was just getting going, was building email lists, and they would send out newsletters. That was before they had, you know, websites, or they were just kind of getting started, like you built your first one. And what's interesting is that that's still the number one thing people should be doing, because, and I've said this to clients, if Facebook disappears tomorrow, how are you going to reach your audience? You need a mailing list. You need a way that you own, because that's the media you own. Yes, it's fantastic to doing things on all socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, wherever your audience is, YouTube. But if they all disappeared tomorrow, the only way you can reach anybody is via your email list. And that has not changed in the whole time I've been doing marketing, is you need to own your own lists. Because if everything disappears tomorrow, that's your moneymaker.
Yes, and we definitely have to stay in business. We still have to make that money. Philippe, I wanted to ask you, you coach overthinking achievers. Mm-hmm. Why overthinking achievers?
Well, what I've been thinking about, and like what puzzled me, is a lot of my friends, colleagues in law, people who were highly educated and had all this like talent and skill and drive, that people in that position with all these things going for them were feeling blocked and weren't living the lives that they wanted to live. And that always struck me, for me personally, but then seeing this among my peers, I'm like, well, what's happening there? What is getting in the way of people who, if you just looked at their situation, their background, everything that they have in their favor, why they're not moving forward? And what I've found is a lot of that comes down to their mindset, their identity, going back to this idea of like the recovered lawyer. So what was getting in their way is, you know, perfectionism, is being afraid of failure, afraid of making mistakes, what it would mean about them if they were to step off the path that had been laid out in front of them. And so, look, in life, there are very real obstacles and challenges that we all face. And it varies from person to person, but you can be sure that everyone will at some point face a real challenge in their life. And that's unavoidable, just external circumstances happening. But what I wanted to focus on is, well, what is it that we can control? What are the avoidable, let's say, obstacles, the avoidable suffering? And that was primarily around like people getting in their own way with the anxiety and worry and expectations they place on themselves. So that's where I wanted to start my work.
Well, that reminds me of Joseph Campbell. Oh, sorry. That reminds me of Joseph Campbell. You have to let go of the life that you thought you were supposed to live the life that you're supposed to.
That's why I've got him on my website. I love Joseph Campbell. Yeah.
I just saw Finding Joe on the weekend. Finally, I've had it for 2 years in my cabinet and I never watched it. And I thought, okay, now I have time.
Yeah.
And it's time. That's what people are finding. So back to you, Philippe. I just wanted to ask you, when you talk about, you know, these obstacles, sometimes you have people who are in these jobs or in these positions where they feel like, I'm here because that's what mom wants. I'm here because that's what dad wants. I'm here because, you know, I spent 10 years or all this time in college to get this degree, but this is not something that I want to do. And with everything that's going on in this quarantine and incubation period, people have found so much creativity. That's the one thing that I've noticed, is that people all of a sudden are like, you know what? I got these ideas. I had this dream. I have time to sit down and really think about what it is that I want to do. Have you seen a rise in people having that, or a rise in that conversation?
Yeah. Well, I would say two things. One is, right, necessity is the mother of invention. And so sometimes our external circumstances conspire to raise that level of necessity, so we kind of come into action and take charge. So sometimes we can do it on our own, but sometimes it's an external crisis that really creates the tension and the incentive to step out and go for something. So yes, absolutely. But the other thing that I've seen is this, as a belief that, okay, we're all on pause, so this is a time to just pause and wait, and when things get back to normal, then I'll continue. And what I've been telling people, and I actually put together a group program that actually just finished last week, it was a month long, directly addressing this idea. It was 1 month, one goal. So it's, hey, you've got something that you want to be working on. You probably have time. Don't wait for things to get back to normal before you start working on it. And so I think the trick in a time when there's all this noise and anxiety and all these things swirling around us, the best thing that people can do who are in that place of, say, feeling that, okay, this is the time, there's something here, being able to focus on one thing at a time is probably the best thing that they can do for themselves. So figuring out whatever that one thing is, if it's writing a book or finishing that course or, you know, who knows, getting in shape, just pick one thing, go 100% commit to it, and you'd be surprised how much progress you can make in a month's time.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned a couple of times was getting back to normal. And the consensus right about now is that it's going to be a new normal, that we won't go back to exactly the way things are. Do you agree with that or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. And I have no more expertise on that than anyone else. No one knows what will happen tomorrow, let alone, you know, next month. What I would say, the distinction that I keep making for people is between what you kind of can control and what you can't control. And I keep driving that again and again. Again, going back to the lawyer mentality, like lawyers are always thinking about like the what if scenarios in the future, right? We're scanning the environment for risks and trying to control them all, which again is part of our job. That's a valuable function to serve in that context. But right now, where we really can't control what's happening tomorrow and there's all this fear and uncertainty around it, what I keep telling people is, what can you control? Focus on that. What you can control, let it go. And so what we can control right now is, for example, like what we do today, figuring out what matters to us, prioritizing that, making time, right, to do that right now, working on our, you know, and the list goes on. But I think that's the single biggest distinction that has really anchored me in this time and that I share with anyone who's willing to listen.
I love it. The magic and the miracles happen in the moment. So yes, we have to focus on the right now. I want to go over to you for a moment, Shayla. When we talk about everything that's going on with business, I know businesses, especially small to medium business owners, are scrambling to figure out how to pivot and what to do. As a business strategist or a business strategy angel, what are some tips, strategies, guidance, advice you would be able to offer them?
That's a really good question. So in times like this, I think that first things first, it's important for small businesses to realize that crisis is going to happen, whether it's a worldwide pandemic, whether you are going through a divorce, whether a parent passes away. Crisis occurs in everyone's life. It just so happens that this time, this one experience is worldwide and everyone's experiencing it at the same time. The first thing that I have been, you know, just as I've been consulting new clients and everything, is you want to, at this point, make sure your business is positioned not only in the marketplace, but also positioned in the future to be able to handle when something like this happens. And a lot of that starts with making sure you have clear brand messaging and marketing, making sure that your client understands what problem you solve, and also understanding who your client is, not just before, but during and after a crisis like this, so that you can provide products and services that really answer their needs and is a solution to what it is that they're experiencing. So whether it's a product or service-based business, right now you have to position your brand and business in the marketplace as a solution, regardless of what you sell. Because if they were buying it before, they'll buy it after. But it's all about how you're positioning your brand to continue to see that profit and grow.
Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful words of advice. However, I also see that many business owners at this point, there's an anxiety of, I don't even want to think about it. You know, one of the things that I saw an article that even Mark Zuckerberg said about Facebook and everything that was happening, he said, right now, I'm just trying to keep the doors open. And I thought that was so genius in its simplicity. You know, with everyone at home, all the kids out of school, everyone's on Facebook. So people who may have spent 20 minutes or 2 hours maybe on Facebook are now spending 8 hours a day on Facebook. And so that's an unusual demand on their server. So he's just like, hey, I'm just trying to win. I'm just trying to stay in business. So I know if we have that from, you know, the Facebooks of the world, that there are small businesses who have that same, you know, I just want to keep my doors open.
Definitely. And I know, like, a lot of times in times like this, it is all about your mindset. And when you are just trying to keep the doors open, communication with your audience is a big part of being able to keep those doors open. So like Carolyn had mentioned about having a list. Your list is where you're getting your conversions. So some people have businesses and they even have a list that they've never used. And so a lot of times when it comes to, like, online, for instance, Instagram, you see a 2% conversion. Facebook, you see a 3-4% conversion. Whereas if you have an email list, you're more likely to convert those people into buyers at a rate of 10 to 12%. That is triple what you see online. So at this point, it's in order to keep the doors open and be able to feel comfortable and confident and being able to keep that business afloat. It is going to be all about communicating with your customers, and it's going to be all about relating with them and making sure that they know not only that you care, but that you're there for them. And I think that when you build that around, especially right now, Oh my gosh. It's basically like building a blanket that's going to keep your customers warm. And whenever you get ready to make an offer to keep those doors open, or you add a feature, like I know Facebook, they're talking about adding features so you can have more than one person on the screen. And then Instagram started talking about it because they have so many more people, so much more traffic. And they've got to find a way to filter that traffic so that people can be able to work together and be able to grow and share their platforms. And that's just one example of how businesses that are even bigger, right, than the small businesses are pivoting. So as a small business, I say, look at your partnerships. Partnerships are going to be a big way to help keep those doors open. Partnering with people that typically, it may be unorthodox. Maybe it's not a partnership that you would typically go for. Making sure you stay in the communication. Use that email list. This is the time to monetize that list. Stay connected to them. And also, I say, be honest and transparent. Now is the time to really share your experience, which is a part of your story, with your clients and customers. Be honest with them and let them know where you are. Just like Mark Zuckerberg, you know, he was like, we're just trying to keep the doors open. Instantly, every small business in America can identify with Facebook, even though Facebook is billions of dollars ahead, right, of so many small businesses. He's being relatable and he's being transparent. And that's really important as a business owner.
Oh, I love that. That was beautiful. I felt that, you know, as a small business owner, I really felt that. And it's something that is a takeaway that I can take into my business. So I want to go over to Carolina. And again, Carolina is from Linda Berry McCormick. That's her law firm. And she helps people. I say help. I'm going to use that, Carolina, because you do help people, but you deal with matrimony. And so I've seen people who say, okay, there are going to be a lot of babies and a lot of divorces. What have you seen, Carolina?
Well, first of all, you know, I think that it's great that I'm going last, because Carolyn's list of having the right contacts, Philippe's vision of knowing where you're going and focusing on that one thing you need to change, and Shayla's well-spoken position that you need to prepare for the worst. Not only am I a matrimonial lawyer, but in response to my own divorce several years ago, I formed something called the Divorce Dynasty Platform, and it's made up of vetted professionals, doctors, lawyers, bankers, a relationship expert, therapist, even a dog walker, because when you go through change in life, whether your spouse leaves you, you leave them, they die or they become disabled, it's the same loss and sorrow you're going through. And if you're not prepared, if you don't have your list, to Carolyn's point, if you don't know where you're going and you're literally throwing your hands up in the air, it could become an overwhelming experience. Now, where we are locked in our homes, maybe going through a divorce or thinking that, you know what, spring's going to come. I'm not staying here anymore. I'm not going to do another New Year's. This is crazy. I can't do it. Forget it. But at least he goes to work and I have to see him. So I'm right. Good. That's all gone. You are literally locked in the house. So there's two things that are happening. One, that you're going to say, listen, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's try to work through this. Let's focus on the kids, the dog, the projects. Let's get through this. Or hell no, I am out of here. And mm-hmm. In between there, which is terrible, what I'm seeing is the rise of domestic violence. People mm-hmm. are like boiling pots of pressure right now. They're stressed about losing their job. They're stressed about maybe their parents getting sick. They're hearing death on every time they turn the TV on. Their stock market's going down. There's a lot of tension. And if the relationship was already suffering, if there was already things going wrong, then it's not quick for somebody to really lose it right now. And we're seeing the statistics go not only in physical violence, where I'm getting pictures of bloody noses and black eyes and teeth knocked out, but emotional abuse, economic coercion in those homes where the women are living a shame game. I don't want to call the police. I don't want my husband to lose his job. I don't want my neighbors to know what's going to happen. And now they're really stuck with their abusers. So across New Jersey, we are seeing a rise in both calls to the shelters, to the various mental health agencies, and unfortunately to us, the lawyers. It's happening.
Mm. I also saw a message or a post that went out, I apologize, I can't remember exactly what it said, but for these domestic violence situations, if you need help or if you need to get out, then call and order a pizza or call and do something where people recognize that you need help in those situations where you can't actually say, I'm being abused. Do you have any information on things like that that people can offer?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I've been doing all month, or really for the last 6 weeks when this started, is connecting with the local mayors, the local chiefs of police, the local agencies across New Jersey, and putting things on Facebook. So various Zooms, shows like yours, because people have phones and they're on Facebook, they're on Instagram. So if they can't call a hotline right now, there's numbers we put on the screen. They could do a chat. They could chat with their friend to get a friend call on their behalf. But most importantly, it's getting the information out that supports are out there. You know, there was a whole big rumor out there that, oh, courts are closed, you know, so you better go to your room and stay quiet. And if you're getting abused, the police are closed, the world's closed. It's not true. The supports are out there. And more so than ever, this is the time to know when to call, what rises to domestic violence. And to Philippe's point, this is not the time to, you know, you've been unhappy for 20 years, so all of a sudden, you know, now you're going to start a battle. This is not the time. The time is to stay calm, to get your information and to get through this, but to start working with people like Philippe, to start figuring out what's next. Focus on your end game. Obviously, if you're getting hit and if there's physical violence and if you're in danger or your children, well, then we can't wait for the end goal. We need to get supports into the house right now.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. Carolyn, back over to you. I know you worked with small business owners, but what are some of the tips, the strategies and guidance that you can offer to businesses at this time?
Well, it's a great time to plan and be creative, because planning ahead is one of the things that you can do now, and also pick up your social media game, because a lot of people don't have time to sit and schedule out a strategy for the year, and there's different dates. So for example, you might have seen today's Earth Day, you know, the hashtag Earth Day is trending. So if you've got a business that's environmental or green or nature friendly, you know, it's a great time to be posting, but it would have been good if you had planned it out a couple of weeks ago and scheduled those posts and written those blogs and maybe sent your newsletter yesterday to say, hey, we're going to have a Facebook Live today talking about, you know, XYZ green product or green service, something like that. And there's dates like throughout the year, and depending on your product or service or business, you might want to plan something for Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, you know, Canada Day, whatever country you're in, you know, what can you do to start that planning now? And you can schedule, there's so many programs out there. You can schedule, you know, tweets, you know, a year in advance. It's great. You can just sit and pre-populate your whole calendar. And then as you go along, then you can do the spontaneous ones. Like when you see somebody post something and you can retweet it or comment or share it on Facebook or post something on LinkedIn. And that way you have some pre-scheduled marketing, and then you have ongoing marketing, and it doesn't take as much time. It just kind of takes that pressure off that if you didn't get to something today, that blog post automatically went up for you.
Yes, I feel like I leaped too fast, that I moved, I segued too fast into a different conversation, because we were talking about the people and what they were going through. And it's like, okay, let's get back to business. And I, I felt like that was a little awkward, but it was something that, that's why I love being live. Like, I'm only human, because it's like I'm trying to get everybody into the conversation and draw everybody in. And then I just went left for a minute. So I want to
come actually. Back. That's a good point, what you just said, because we're all trying to do that. We have these situations that come up that are stressing us out and we're not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And Philippe can probably attest to this. We're uncomfortable. We don't like the uncomfortable. We don't like the unknown. We don't know what's happening. Okay, what's normal? I know. Okay, what's normal? I can sit and write a blog. Okay, that feels normal. What else can I do? When I'm stressed, I bake. Oh my God, my baking game has gone like through the roof, and it's been cold here and I haven't been taking my walks. So I'm watching the pound. I'm like, okay, thankfully it's going to be really good weather next week. I can get back outside here because we had snow yesterday. What is that? And it's wrong. It's just wrong.
It was actually not a bad segue, because when we're talking about families that are in crisis right now, other than infidelity and, you know, your girlfriend's calling the house because now we're in lockdown and how dare she call here, it's the loss of income. You know, people are either getting furloughed or laid off, or if they owned a small restaurant or business or, you know, whatever they were doing, and that's now on the decline. Money issues tend to really put stress on a marriage. You're arguing now about the finances in front of the kids. Now the kids are getting irritated. Now they're annoying you. And here you have a family that potentially doesn't have the coping skills to deal with what's happening. So the business, to Carolyn's point, the business aspect is a huge stressor on families across the world right now.
And yes. If I can just, so actually the thread through this, something Carolyn mentioned is really around, right, it's our mindset. So when we're feeling anxiety, well, we tend to like want to do something about it. And we as a culture also have this bias toward action, right, and doing stuff. Like Americans love doing things. Yes. There's that idea, right? Well, if I'm not doing something, then I'm, you know, wasting time. And Carolyn, I love the, right, the distinction between, well, of planning in advance. And there's this wonderful quote that I always come back to by Abraham Lincoln. It doesn't feel like a great fit on Earth Day, but I'll share it anyways. It's, if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend the first 4 sharpening my axe. So no violence toward trees, but the idea here is we want to get into action, right? We want to start just swinging and doing stuff because in a way it makes us feel better, right? At least I'm doing something. But what's more important, right, is to be taking action that's efficient, right, that matters, that is geared, that is effective. And that requires some advanced planning, which is usually more internal. It doesn't look like doing things. And this is actually, it's a perfect time to slow down, to work on that inner game, to do the planning, to sharpen your axe in your business, whether that's thinking through, you know, 3-6 months from now, where do I want to be? Like, what is my longer term strategy? What are some areas of my business that I might have neglected that could use some love? Slow things down, right? Sharpen the axe, think through so that when you go to take action, that action is really going to count. And again, what makes it so hard is that the environment nationally, right, interglobally, we're in an environment where there's just anxiety and fear in the air. And so that's pushing on our like action button. We want to do something about it. So it's even harder than it normally is to stay calm and grounded and to sharpen the axe. But again, this is like what's simple is what works. And especially in times of fear and anxiety, coming back to what is simple is the best thing that you can do. So what I keep telling people, I've probably shared that quote like 100 times in the last week, but.
Yeah, cool. I think it's so important that, you know, recognizing that we're all under stress right now. Even if you had the perfect life, this is so stressful with what's going on. But now imagine those people that didn't have the perfect life, that were going through a divorce, or they just lost a spouse right now, or somebody had a massive heart attack before the governor shut down the state of New Jersey. And now there's issues with getting healthcare services because we're dealing on patients that have the coronavirus. Those individuals need community. Those individuals need their email lists now. They need to reach out. Some of them don't have family. Some of them don't have friends. All of us are in shelter in place. Some of these families live across the globe. So the sense of how do you create virtual community right now to help people get through things is something that I'm really identifying and seeing. And it's almost like it's that ventilator. It's that mask people need right now.
Yes.
I saw something on Facebook and I loved it. So I actually did it. There was a woman somewhere in the US. I can't give her credit off the top of my head. But she created a note that you can print out. She shared the PDF. She wrote a blog about it. And you print it out and you fill in your details. And then you go stick it in your neighbor's mailboxes. And it basically says, if you're sheltering in place, you know, I'm so-and-so, I live here, here's my cell number. I can do groceries for you if you're stuck. I can listen if you need to chat, because I don't know all the neighbors on my street. And I don't know if somebody's elderly. I don't know if anybody's alone. I don't know if somebody's got health issues and they can't get out to get some, you know, fresh food that they need. And the online ordering is, you know, 2-3 weeks behind because they're so inundated. So I printed this off and I walked up and down the street and I stuck it in everybody's mailbox. And I had two people contact me. They go, "Well, we're okay, but this is nice." And I thought, "Oh, this is fantastic." People I hadn't met before. And I thought, this is a good idea. I really loved that she did it. I'll share the link afterwards. I'll go and dig it up, because I thought it was brilliant what this woman started, and it worked. And it was so nice because I hadn't met everybody on the street.
I didn't see that, but I did see something on Facebook where people were posting that if you need anything, then I'm here, especially our senior citizens. I have a wonderful friend of mine who will be 99 this year. So I'm always checking on her. And it was one conversation where she wanted to go to the store, and I kept telling her, "I'll go for you. I'll go for you." She's like, "No, I'll take the bus." And then she said, "Well, the bus, you know, with everything going on, it's like 4 hours between buses." I'm like, "I'll take you." She was like, "No, I don't want to trouble you." And I said, "You know what? People 80 and over are supposed to be in the house. I'm on my way." And finally I went over and took her to do everything, even though she didn't want me to help her. But you know, you have to help people in these times. Shayla, over to you for a minute. During these times, I know people has anything changed for you? Are you I know sometimes our spouses work or our children are at school. I don't know if you're a mother or not.
I am not a mom, but my husband is considered an essential worker. But even in his essentialism, he has been home more. So for us, it's been a great time of bonding and connecting on the family front. On the business front, it's interesting how like Corona has really started to like affect us over the last month or two, because I recently had launched my group coaching program, which was an opportunity for business owners to work with me if they can't afford a, you know, strategy coach or a strategist. And so I've seen an uptick in membership because people are now looking for resources. They're looking for somebody that they can tap into and be able to learn from and be able to have the tools they need to make that pivot and their shift in business. So I have been blessed in the midst of this. And like you, I take care of my grandfather on a day-to-day. So my day-to-day hasn't really changed. I've been making sure he's good and he gets a chance to eat, and we drive to Target. Even if he doesn't get out of the car, at least he still gets fresh air. So it's been a little different for me and him, because I don't have the chance to, like, he doesn't actually get to get out of the car because I don't let him. I'm like, I don't want to be home. But it has, so there have been good and there has been, you know, trickier things, because my grandfather has dementia. So like, he doesn't realize exactly what's going on, but he knows that he can't get out of the house. And so it's like, you know, finding things to keep him busy so that he doesn't feel like I'm stuck here. So that's been a journey. That has definitely been a little more challenging, but it's been good though.
Yeah, no, you mentioned the dementia. Sometimes people don't understand what's going on. That's what I found with children. You know, the children are out of school, especially young children. They don't understand viruses. They don't understand why everything is closed. They don't understand why, I don't know if anyone has children, but they don't understand why they can't go to school. And one of the things that I've been told is not to put too much pressure on the children. You know, don't make it where they are forced to do everything, you know, just kind of help them work through these difficult times and through these trying times. So I'm glad you're there to help your grandfather. I want to go back to one of the things that Carolina said about, or I'm sorry, maybe Philippe, about us wanting to have some type of action. One of my favorite quotes is from Oprah Winfrey, and she says that most people, when they don't know what to do, have to do something. She says, "When I don't know what to do, I don't do anything until I know what to do." And that's what I try to live by.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, because you don't want to, one thing that I've been seeing a lot of business owners do, which is really dangerous, is just make sudden moves because they are panicking, or making sudden moves because they are scared. And it's so important not to just do it because you're scared, not to just do it because you see someone else doing it online, not to just do it because, do it when it feels right and do it when you're ready. Nobody's saying that, you know, because there's a pandemic, you have to go and be this super productive person, and you have to, because this is like trauma for all of us. Like, this is a lot, especially when worldwide everyone's trapped in the house. This is like not heard of. And it on this level. And so I think that it's important for business owners to know, you know, if you're gonna hire a coach when you're ready, hire a coach when you find somebody, you know, if you wanna do an offer for in your business, make the offer when you're ready, make the offer when you're gonna be able to be consistent, where you're gonna be able to really deliver, make the offer when it feels okay. Because right now it's important that everybody know that we're all processing this. Some people were, you know, devastated in the beginning and now they're okay. Some people were okay in the beginning and they're feeling a little more devastated and panicking now. And so to allow the process to flow, allow yourself to flow and be productive when it feels good. And this is also the time to flex that discipline muscle, right? Because the pandemic may be over and then you may find yourself, you know, calling Carolina because you're getting ready to get a divorce, or you may find yourself calling Philippe because now you just don't know what to do. Like, and so there may be another crisis after this. So it's also really important to really flex that discipline muscle in this season in your business, and not just show up for your people, but show up for yourself, because this won't be the last thing that you experience that's traumatic in your life or traumatic for your business. So it's important, like they were saying earlier, to not just build a plan, but have some strategy in place so that if and when something else happens in life, that you're a little bit more prepared for it and you can shift and you'll be ready.
You know, the cornerstones of Divorce Dynasty are prepare, protect, partner, prosper. You have to be ready and prepared. You have to protect what you need to keep for yourself, for your family. You definitely need the right partnerships, which are the people on the screen, and then you will only prosper. So to everybody's point, you don't just leap now because you feel like a loser because you're sitting on the couch taking a breath. So Philippe, I think you were going to jump in and talk about the fact that sometimes it's better just to take a breath, right? And to really think about what's next and do it in a meaningful way.
Yeah. I love that quote by Oprah. She's dispensing a lot, always dispenses a lot of wisdom, but we're all tuning in right now, especially I am. And it reminded me of another quote by Rollo May, who's a philosopher, and it's an ironic habit of human beings to run faster when they have lost their way. And so what Oprah is offering is her insight and wisdom of having lived it and learned and like distilled this wisdom that she's now kind of absorbed into her being. This is now who she is, where when she gets confused, she knows to slow down. But I think, and I heard this in what Shayla was also sharing, this is stressful. We're all gonna like respond. Not every day's gonna be great. You know, I'm a coach and helping people, but on Friday I spent about 12 hours watching, you know, movies. Like I would just, had an afternoon and I was laying on my couch. I'm like, I'm tired and I can't, I'm just gonna do this. But when I think about kind of like what we can leverage, what's most important, it's initially just having an awareness of what our human nature is. Like what are our like habits and our like built-in reactions, and just to have an awareness of them. We're not gonna react the right way, respond the right way every time, because nobody's perfect. But if we can keep in our mind, like what are our tendencies, then that might give us that extra second, that extra level of awareness where we could then make a different choice. So knowing that it is a habit of human beings when we feel lost to speed up, it's not right or wrong. It's just something that we do. And there's probably a good reason based in right evolution and when we were all right in the jungle running away from tigers, why that is. So it's, certainly like take action and take responsibility for your choices, but also let's give ourselves some love and recognize that these are just, it's just our nature. This is what I do. Okay, knowing this is something that I do and other people do, it's not something bad about me. It's just how things are. What can I do with that information? How can I build that into my response so that one day, hopefully all of us are as wise as Oprah is.
I love it. But one of the things that you mentioned is I had the same experience in watching television, like not even television, but Netflix. I was kept watching all these series. I fell in love with all these different series and I was just watching them for hours on end. But then I would start to feel guilty. I would start to feel bad, like Sharifa, you know, because you talk about back in the caveman days, but even more recent, I was raised that you always had to be productive. You always had to be doing something. You always had to be working on something. If you're not working on it, then clean it, then, you know, do something. You know, to sit there and just watch Netflix all day is counterproductive. And, you know, I actually said to myself, Sharifa, it's Saturday. You know, that was like the simplest thing. You know, it's just like, it's Saturday. You know, why not relax? You do a lot, take the time off, but often we just want to push ourselves to keep going because that's what we feel in this society, that we have to be doing something. And then I also made a post where I said it was something to the extent of, if you're not using this time to be productive, then what are you doing with your life? And I thought it was like this great quote and it was so wonderful. Oh, my friends came back and they were like, Sharifa, if you're not doing anything, it's okay. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to offend anyone. I was just kind of sharing this post, but we have to get to that point of it's okay. It's okay if you're not.
It's all
okay. But I think something, I was just going to say, I think that something that you said, so two things, rest is actually productive because when your brain is able to rest, you're able to bounce back with more creativity, you know, giving your brain that break is important. And it's actually super productive because a lot of times, like, I bet after you rested, you came back refreshed and were ready to work, right? Like,
yes.
You had a whole nother, so rest is actually very productive. And I know entrepreneurs, that's something we struggle with across the board. So it's important. And then the other thing I was going to say is I posted something similar and people kind of like, oh my God, no. And I told people, I like had to remind people in my stories. I just was kind of like, hey guys, remember that everything is not for everyone. So take what you need and leave what you don't. And for some people, maybe this is the time that they need to be using because they've been resting long before Corona. Maybe they need to up their productivity. Whereas some people have been so productive and this is a time for them to take a break. So it's important to, you know, and that was my response to everybody who like, were like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm like, I believe there's something called balance in the universe. Mm-hmm. And this is for those people who needed to hear it. And if it's not for you, it's okay.
Yeah. And right, this is Earth Day. So this idea of seasons, and we're all in different seasons. Actually, a lot of my work is focused around nature connection. I run nature retreats as well, because I think like all the information about how to live and be healthy is right there on display. And just one idea, right, of like rest and going is just the different seasons, which Sharifa, you may not have in Southern California the way we do Northeast, which is all good. Winter. Right, is a time where everything seems to like slow down, go dark, the leaves fall, everything goes into dormancy, animals hibernate, we go inside, it gets dark. It's a time that seems like nothing is happening, but that leads into spring, which is this explosion of life, right, and doing. And then in the fall again, right, it's death, you could say, right, the leaves are falling, and all that, but it's just this, it's cycle and it's all necessary. The winter isn't just doing nothing. It's that transitional period between fall and spring where life is, let's say, preparing to reemerge. And we experience that because we are from the earth, right, part of nature, on these different cycles on a daily basis, but also just seasons of productivity and rest throughout our life and where we get into trouble, where we get burned out, where our anxiety gets amped up, where we torpedo our relationships, is when we deny our nature and what we're needing because of you know, what you learned in your family, which I think all of us can relate to. I certainly can, of like, mm-hmm. you gotta go.
Right.
Going to New York City, being a lawyer here, it's all about going all the time. And it's just not the way we're built. So give ourselves some love and acceptance.
I was just going to add to that, you know, a lot of people are taking that pause right now to listen to their own thoughts, because while we were all running around and chasing the cheese and we're like hamsters in that wheel that never stops and just going, we didn't really take a moment, or we didn't want to hear the voices. We suppressed them. We got busy with other things. And now we're forced to listen to that voice, because now there's so much silence. My advice to my clients really is, though, don't try to solve it immediately, and don't try to solve it by yourself, because whatever's going on, whatever you're tapping into, you might need to talk to various people. And if it's a matter of saying, I don't know what to do, to Philippe's point, you just don't do it then, because you're going to potentially start making decisions during a time where life is not normal that potentially could really have a very negative impact on your life when, quote unquote, we have a new normal. So this is not a time to haste. And I really think haste does make waste. And if we do that right now, it might be dangerous.
Yes. And I've also heard that you don't make decisions when you're emotional, you know, in the heat of the moment. You have to rationalize and think things through. And especially when we talk about divorce, I feel like with everything that's going on, this is a very emotional time. Back to the couple that I mentioned that was going through a divorce. To me, in my eyes, not that I was in their house, but they were the ideal perfect couple until this happened. But one of the things that happened is the wife lost her job, you know, so now they have the stress of having one less income coming in the house. So, and she's home all day and they're kind of butting heads. And so now they're like, you know, I want a divorce after 8 years of smooth sailing. So I was just like, you know what, wait, like think, like everything will be okay. That was my advice to them.
You know, I think a lot of people are not used to spending a lot of time together, because either both people are working and the kids are in school and aftercare and band camp and everything else, or the wife's home taking care of the home and the kids and husband is out working late, leaves early. You don't even know who you are anymore as a couple, because you don't know what that time together is like. So don't just jump and say, oh, this is horrible. Give it a moment. You know, don't break things if they are not necessarily broken, but it is certainly a new normal in the household for people to now even eat dinner together. I mean, who has dinner together anymore? So these are new dynamics and they have to be treated very carefully, because it is something that wasn't experienced before.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. Carolyn, how are you feeling over there?
I'm good. I love listening to all this conversation, because I feel like I'm the odd one out, because I've worked from home for so long. We always have family dinner and have done forever, like nobody else seems to. I love to cook, and it's a good thing that I like have the, you know, the 20-foot commute from the bedroom to the office. And so it's nice that I look at the clock and go, oh, I can get up now, and I go and I stand there and chop, and I listen to, you know, audiobooks or podcasts while I, you know, cut up the carrots and the onions and make whatever. And batch cooking is good for the days I don't feel like it. And so the freezer's full, and it's just, you're right. You need to take a step back. I saw Mel Robbins yesterday and she had an anxiety attack, and she said, I got to move my body. And she went on a long walk. And I think that's another thing people can do. You guys are all right. You don't make business decisions or family decisions when you're all anxious, because you're not listening to your inner voice. And that was the biggest lesson I had in my life, was I didn't listen to my little voice. And even when you think it's illogical, it always turns out to be correct. I'm pretty sure you can all attest to a time in your life you heard the little voice, you went, no, and then later you're like, why didn't I listen to it? And so when you're anxious, you can't hear it, because it's really quiet. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the point she was trying to make, because she was all anxious and she just went on. She's, I don't even want to go on the walk, but I'm going to go on the walk, because it just forces my body to move and gets that anxiety out. It moves that anxiety out of your body. And I think that's a great tip. Unfortunately, it's -2 here. Well, that's like, I don't know, it's like 30 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's just not nice to walk in. So
I won't tell you what the temperature here.
I'm going to do some yoga or something on the mat in the house where it's warm to get my movement in. But yeah, I think that's, you're right. You're all right. And you just have to stop for a minute, and you can feel productive when you don't know what to do. Going on a walk is good. Breathing it in. And I don't remember who, somebody told me this one day, because I'm one of these people that's always got to be productive. And they said, you're a human being, not a human doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. That's great.
Well, I went, oh yeah, that's right.
Yes, but I think we're in the same boat. We're in the same boat, Carolyn. You're not the odd man out. I was having a conversation with my cousin the other day, early in the morning before the show. And I was like, I have to get ready for this show. And she looked at me and she goes, you have to go 5 feet to do your show. And I'm like, okay, hold on. I'm like, first of all, do you know how much energy and effort it takes to put together this show, to find the guests, to book the guests, to schedule this, you know, all this? Is, I don't just show up and do a show. It takes a lot to do a show. But also, like yourself, Carolyn, I've been working at home for years. And so everything, to a certain extent, to me looks the same. But once I walk outside the door, it's like, oh my God, what is happening in the world? That's when I go into culture shock, because I'm standing in line in Target, I'm standing in line in Costco, you know, with all these people wearing masks, and I'm like, where am I? So my inner, you know, everything at home has remained the same, but the world has definitely changed.
Yeah, that's where I feel it too. I was in grocery shopping. I tried out to go once a week. I used to just pick up what I needed here and there, and I missed hot yoga, and I missed my hairdresser, and mm-hmm. all these things that you don't realize that
I miss mine too.
You're feeling it. I know. Someone said, what's the first thing you're gonna do when this lifts? I'm like, book an appointment,
get my hair done, and hope
yeah,
she doesn't
get my hair done and hot yoga. Yeah. I can and do yoga she... here.
I hope she doesn't raise her prices. I'm like, after being out of business.
At this point, I think anybody would throw all kinds of money at the hairdressers. It's like, you're worth every penny. It's just like all the teachers. It's very interesting. Here in Ontario, we had teachers' disputes. And now I think everybody's realizing, as they homeschool their kids, how important the teachers really are and how much they do. And uh-huh. even though they're on a reduced schedule, but thankfully they are making sure all the kids pass. My daughter's going to college, and they don't want to stop that process for those kids, because they were so close to finishing. And yeah, so thankfully she's still gonna go. So that I'm thankful for, that they're making sure that the kids are going to be okay, and that they will make sure that they have enough to get to the next level.
Congratulations to your daughter. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I like to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak to everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives, and just let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to go ahead and give you a couple of seconds there, Carolyn.
Well, thanks. I just want everybody to know that I feel like my purpose in life is to teach everyone how to have more fun. And life is an adventure, or it's nothing, as Helen Keller said. And so that's what I hope to teach people, both on a personal level and in their business.
I love that. I like at the end how you added that smile, because she was like, have more fun. I'm like, she didn't even crack a smile when she said have more fun. There you go. That's how you have fun. Tell them, Carolyn, what do you have for us, Philippe?
Oh, man. I think there's one thing that I want to leave them with is just thinking about what it is that you can control in your life and what it is that you can't right now. And by focusing on what you can control, it's going to bring you a lot more calm, I think, but it also will just focus you on what's in front of you. It'll actually give you more of an ability to respond to all the stuff that's happening. And so there are two questions that I've been coming back to asking myself all the time so that I make sure I don't get far away. And it's like, is this actionable? Is one, right? Is there something I can do about this? And that's more for like doing. And the other question is this helpful? which relates a lot more to my own like thoughts and worries. Is this actionable? Is this helpful? Those are two questions that really clarify things in moments when I'm getting all wound up. That's what I'd love to give to everyone.
I love it. It's beautiful, Shayla.
I guess the thing that I would want to leave with our viewers is strategy in this season is everything. And while this won't be the last crisis, it doesn't mean that you can't always succeed through crisis. So planning and executing are essential, or an essential part of discipline. So I know that I feel like I love Carolyn shared her purpose. I know that I was put here on this earth to help small businesses build sustainable and successful businesses. And I just want to see everyone thrive.
Thank you. Look at that smile. I'm loving all the smiles today. They are so beautiful starting the day. That's why I love having an early morning show. Carolina, what do you want to leave our audience with?
I love all the white teeth, first of all, on the screen. We all have nice teeth. you know, I want to leave them with this. The old adage of it's not what you know, it's who you know, isn't necessarily true anymore. We are in a world of really needing information. So if you find yourself at a crossroads, whether it's a divorce, a disability of a spouse, a death, a loss of a job, you need to be educated on your next steps. Do not do a knee-jerk reaction. Be calm, be focused, and get the right team around you.
Thank you. Wonderful advice from all our guests. I want to thank everyone for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show with Sharifa Hardy. I want to thank everyone who watched the show live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives. I ask you to go ahead and share this show, support the show, support our guests. They are giving of their time, their energy, and their information to be able to help you. If you're interested in being a guest on the Roundtable, please visit the website at asksharifa.com and select Be a Guest. Until tomorrow, everyone have a safe and a wonderful day. Bye now. Mm-hmm.